The dictionary defines the word attitude as a way of thinking or feeling about something. It also goes on to say that attitudes also reflect a person's behavior. One of the things we understand as Christians is that our attitudes can influence a generation. The way the world sees us reflect Jesus is the way the world perceives who Christ is. If the world does not see the salt and light of us because of Jesus, then they do not see the salt and the light of Christ. How we reflect and how we portray our attitudes determines the direction in which people will also follow Jesus Christ. I remember when I was growing up, sometimes when I did not have the proper attitude, my mother would say, "Son, you need an attitude adjustment." Sometimes as Christians, we need attitude adjustments. Jesus is the one who gives us the attitude adjustment. But what I want us to focus on this morning in the concept of what it means to have the proper attitude and the way the world sees us reflecting Jesus Christ is our attitude and the way that we want people to see Jesus and to come to Jesus. So in a way, I want to talk about evangelism and how we portray Christ, but it's all through our attitudes. Sometimes I think we approach the way we present Jesus Christ, or perhaps the whole idea of evangelism, perhaps with a bad attitude. Or perhaps our attitude is that it's somebody else's job because I'm too busy to do that. But what I read in Matthew chapter 28 is it says all of us are to go into the world and preach the gospel. Not just my job, not just one person's job, but Jesus is giving the command to everyone. And He doesn't leave anything out in that. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that we have an opportunity to. That is, we are to be the ones who are to turn the world upside down, as we read just a few moments ago in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. When you understand the concept and the context behind what's taking place here, it's actually pretty amazing what Paul and Silas are about to undergo. Because they weren't exactly the most popular individuals because they were bankrupting the synagogue. They were pulling people away from giving to the Jewish society. They were pulling people away from the authority of the Sanhedrin Council. And with that, people were so angry at what they were doing in convincing individuals to become believers and followers of Jesus Christ that they said, "These individuals that we bring before you are turning the world upside down. Brethren, I don't even think we're shaking the rock today." I once heard a preacher say to compare the first century church to the church of today is to compare a roaring cannon to the sound of a toy gun going pop. You see, the way the world sees us and our attitude towards evangelism affects how the way the world sees Jesus. Are we indicted by the words of Acts 17 and verse 6? Are we turning the world upside down and reflecting who Jesus is? I think perhaps we may even protest that statement. And we might say, well, if we only knew the early church and how they were able to accomplish so much. I think just a superficial reading of the book of Acts will tell us exactly how they did that. They did it because they were bold in their endeavor and because they loved their Savior. They weren't ashamed to present the gospel, as Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, because they knew it was the power of God to change lives forever. But sometimes we hide it under a bushel. We put it under our bed because we're afraid for people to see it, or we're afraid to step outside our comfort zones and stand upon the foundation, the rock of which Jesus Christ laid that church, Matthew 16 and verse 18. So this morning I want to talk about our attitudes as Christians. It's not hard to discover the secret to the power of the early church. And that's what I want us to focus on for just a few moments, because when you look through the book of Acts, you see the attitude that they had towards evangelizing and showing people who Jesus was. Many times they were so happy about it that they were willing to give of themselves, their means, everything, sacrificially speaking, just as Jesus Christ had said in Matthew chapter 6, that they were willing to sacrifice anything and everything they had for the growth and the establishment of the Lord's church. And when you see they were selling things, even when they didn't have things which to sell, they were giving everything they had and sacrificing all of themselves to make sure that people knew the church of Jesus Christ. Even when you go back to Acts chapter 4, when they were being persecuted, the Sanhedrin council knew the miracles and the wonders that were being done. They said, we've got proof they're doing these things, but we've got to do something to stop it. I'll tell you what, let's drag them in, let's beat them for a little while and tell them to quit preaching this mess. Peter said, you can beat us all you want. You can shove us in prison. But Peter said, I'll tell you this, I cannot but preach and teach the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 4. So with that, you see the boldness and the proper attitude that the early disciples and the apostles had in preaching the gospel. And brethren, we're afraid just to put it on our Facebook pages. We're afraid people might challenge our beliefs and our core values of what it means to be a child of God. We're afraid somebody might call us out on our Instagram account, all because we choose to follow the Savior, the one who died at Calvary. Brethren, we can no longer be the tiny pop of a toy gun. We have to be the roaring cannon of the first century church. Because if we don't, the world will not hear, nor will they see who Jesus Christ is. So when we think about the proper attitudes that we are to have, the first one that we understand that we see the first century church taking place is the attitude that they had towards Christianity in and of itself. Because Christianity as a whole was something that was very new to society. It was new to the whole Jewish concept. Because to them, everything was about a physical sacrifice. Everything was about something that they could physically see to give back to God. But when you think about the concept by which we walk and talk today, it's all based upon the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That faith which we put in something, knowing and understanding the Word of God, told us what we need to understand to believe who Jesus Christ was. And if we believe it to be the all-encompassing, all-powerful Word of Jesus Christ that makes us complete, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, then we believe it to tell people about it. The first century church did that. Being the roaring cannon that they were, it wasn't exactly popular to preach who Jesus Christ was. Look at any of the different accounts that you see of the apostles or the disciples going forth to preach. And many times they were persecuted simply for speaking the name of Jesus Christ. So much so, as Peter stood in Acts chapter 2, they thought they were a bunch of drunks. They don't know what they're talking about. This one that you're preaching, Peter said, let me tell you who I'm preaching. The same Jesus Christ that you crucified, both Lord and Christ, but rather you desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That's who I'm preaching. Brethren, sometimes people don't want to hear that message. Sometimes people don't want to hear that they are the ones that put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Sometimes we have to tell them, brethren, that we put Him on the cross of Calvary. And when people understand that and the boldness and the plainness behind the message of Jesus Christ, then we have the proper attitude towards Christianity. Why? Because we want to see Jesus. We understand when you think about Christianity as a whole, it's not a way, it's the way. It's a way of life, it's a passion, it's who we are, it's what we believe, it's what we follow. It's encompassing everything that we do in our society and our life. And as a result, the first century church was willing to give anything and everything for that cause. Because when they made a sound, the world listened. When they made a roar, the world knew who they were. Though perhaps most of the first century at that time disagreed with who they were. Certainly the Sanhedrin and the Jews did, those that didn't believe. Certainly the Roman society didn't believe in what they were talking about. It was a paganistic society as a whole. But they weren't ashamed of it. They gave of their homes, their families, their jobs, and some brethren even gave up their lives. When Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death, that's what He's saying. Even if you have to give your life for the cause of Christianity, can we say we would be the ones to jump on the proverbial grenade? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Because, brethren, I don't know if you've turned on your TV lately. Christianity is not exactly popular. But guess what? It wasn't popular in the first century church either. When you think about what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, in talking about all of the issues that were taking place during that time, brethren, just put 21st century there and it's the same thing that's taking place today. in a paganistic society where sin was running rampant. Paul said, these are the things and the issues with which we deal. But Paul said, I'll keep on preaching and teaching the gospel. It wasn't popular for Paul to stand up and preach, though he did it. When you look in the book of Acts also, when you see Peter and John going up to the temple as they heal the lame man at the gate, and as all these individuals begin to gather around and the lame man is sticking right behind him because he's thinking perhaps this miracle is going to go away. And they're looking at Peter and John as if this is some great thing that's taking place. And Peter says, I don't understand why you think this is of our accord. This is Jesus Christ who is doing this. Peter said, let me repeat what I also repeated and told you in Acts chapter 2. You're the one who crucified Jesus. You're the one who put him on the cross of Calvary. Brethren, what we have to understand, sometimes I think we're afraid that the cross of Calvary is not going to convict people of their emotions and their sins. I think we're afraid that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Brethren, if you look in Acts chapter 2 and you understand the cause and effect by which they were preaching, it said some of those individuals were pricked in their hearts. They were actually affected and offended by what they were saying. And with that, and because of that, they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Then you get the love. Peter said, that's easy. Repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter said, it's a simple plan. It's an easy plan to follow, but it's the attitude by which we present it sometimes that affects the most. Brethren, the devil is walking around waiting for us to cower in our association. We've been talking about in the class I'm teaching on Sunday morning of what it means to be in the world but not of the world, but we leave something out that Jesus Christ sent us into that world to preach and teach the gospel. So if we want to be the roaring canning of the first century as we go into the world, the attitude has to be towards Christianity that it's the only way in which we live and present our lives. So what is our attitude towards life then? When you think about the attitude towards life of the early Christians, their lives were affected by their attitude. Why? Because they believe in the concept of Romans 6. They had a new life. They were a new creature in Christ. And they knew as they lived the crucified Christ, or life in Christ, as Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it meant that they had the attitude that they were living their life to the fullest for Christ. And they weren't afraid to give up their life for Christ, whatever sacrifice that meant at the time. We can never have an impact on the world until those in the world see us acting differently from the world. But guess what? That means we have to be in the world so they can see us acting differently from the world. We can't take our Christianity from here to our house and expect the world to be converted in a some 15-mile radius if it only stays within the confine of the building in our homes. You see, we affect all those that are around us by the light that we shine. But sometimes I think we shine it dimly because we're afraid people might ask questions. We're afraid people might call us out and say, tell me about this Jesus that you so-called follow. Tell me about your simple plan of salvation that you talk about or the one church that you pretend to be a part of. You see, in that, it's our attitude towards life and how we're willing to live our lives for society to see it and that we're not ashamed of it. That we're not ashamed to bow our heads in public, even though we might be persecuted for it. That we're not afraid to wear the name of Christian, even though society might not agree with who we bear the title of and what it truly means to be Christ-like and to be in Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul said, we are raised to walk in newness of life. When I become a child of God, when I become a Christian, I become a new creature, and guess what? I have a new zeal to present that life to mankind. And if I don't, brethren, then I don't have the proper attitude. They also had an attitude towards other people. The love of God, that God has for man, and the love the early Christians had for God and others is certainly evident as you read the book of Acts. And the attitude that they had towards individuals were they weren't afraid of presenting to anybody, even though individuals might reject it. Many years ago, a preacher sent a request to the chief of the Six Nations tribe of the Indians to start a mission in a church among them. This was the reply in the form of an oration from the chief of that tribe. He said, brother, we have been told that you have been preaching to the white people in this place. These people are our neighbors. We are acquainted with them. But he said, I'll tell you what. we'll wait a little while and see what effect your preaching has upon them. And if we find it does them good, if it makes them honest, less disposed to cheat Indians, then we'll consider again what you have to say about this gospel." End quote. Attitudes, right? They said if your gospel is such a great thing, if it's presented in such a way that they're ready to share it and act it out, they certainly don't treat us that way. They're the ones that are still cheating us out of our land and our possessions. So we'll wait and see how it affects everybody else. You see, it's all about attitude. And the way the world sees us presents an attitude. So in contrast, when you think about the first century church, these Christians love. Rome met Christianity with a sword. Christianity met Rome in the first century with love. They spoke the truth in love. They weren't afraid to lay down their lives for the cause of what Jesus Christ was teaching in love. Paul said we are to preach the truth in love, to show the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. And absolutely we are, but at the same time we cannot be ashamed of it when people turn us away. We're to be patient, we're to be bold, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and our presenting of the truth because when that, they see who Jesus is. But at the same time, Jesus was also bold in His approach. Today we have a similar world of competition. Amid this philosophy of look at me and look at number one or everything, every person's out for number one, you see, real Christians still care. And we're willing to put ourselves out there to help mankind. We also have to have the proper attitude towards teaching. As a result of their attitude towards others, the early Christians naturally wanted to share the gospel with everybody that they could. I want to ask you a serious question right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to ask you what your answer was after the sermon. But seriously, I want you to answer this question to yourself. When was the last time you taught anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you taught anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, if we take it seriously, we can answer that question. We cannot be resentful towards the preacher because he asked it. But we can be dead serious and honest with ourselves to say, perhaps I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. You see, the attitude that the first century Christians and the disciples and the apostles had, where they had, because this was life and death, that people needed to understand the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had to know this. That was their attitude. Because if they didn't, their souls were going to be in danger. And their attitude towards others in teaching was, we have to teach these things now. The book of Hebrews says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things lest we heard, lest at any time we should let those things slip. The Hebrew writer said, you better pay attention to these things because they're going to save your life. Paul stood up and preached this and said, you better pay attention. When Paul and Silas stood before these individuals as they were persecuting them, they knew the power of their message and they were willing to lay down their lives for such. But they were going to teach it regardless. We received an email just the other day. And I was somewhat encouraged, but also somewhat at the same time afraid for the brethren. Because we received an email here from individuals in North Korea who were requesting Bibles. Now understand, this isn't like us just walking down to Walmart and buying a Bible. These individuals could be killed just simply for saying the word Christian. But yet they were simply requesting that they have Bibles to be able to smuggle into their country so other people too can learn of Jesus Christ. Rather than those individuals understand the concept of first century Christianity because they're willing to give their all just so other people might have the precious word of Jesus Christ. The Sanhedrin said that the apostles had filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, Acts 5 and verse 28. Quit preaching your doctrine. Isn't that what the world tells us today? Stop preaching your doctrine. Your doctrine is hateful. It's unloving. More loving than they realize. Because in it, it's going to save their souls. But finally, they had the proper attitude towards praying. They understood the concept of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, to pray without ceasing. It's not that we sit around for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but the concept of which Paul is writing here is saying, you give every effort to pray because God is the one who's going to bless you and help you through this situation. James 5 says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. they understood how important prayer was to their mission and what they had to accomplish. We have to ask ourselves, are we known as a praying people? Prayer is an extremely important thing for us because it's what we petition God and how we ask Him for help and how we say thank you for the blessings that we receive, whether or not we always agree with how He presents them to us. If we're not, then God help us to repent and learn to depend upon Him. There may be one last objection concerning evangelism and our attitudes. And I heard somebody say this one time. Yeah, Larry, but they had it easier back then. Did they? You see, they didn't have a comfortable building to come to on Sunday morning or Bible class. They didn't have restaurants to go to where they were surrounded by individuals. You see, they were living in a culture of paganism. They were living in a culture of Jewish individuals who hated everything they stood for because they did not believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They were living under a culture of rule that the Roman individuals, if you didn't obey what they said to do, they could kill you right there on the spot. So we have to ask ourselves, did they really have it easier? No, they didn't. You see, traveling and communication by Christians during that time was a chancy and dangerous proposition, but they were willing to do it. Most people were illiterate. But many Christians today talk about the difficulties of our time as though we should have to wait for better ones before Christian religion will take root. Brethren, it's not going to get any better. And it's not going to get any easier. But what we want people to know by the way that we live and the attitudes that we present ourselves and the way that we shine Jesus' light is that we want people to see Him. And oh, how I want to see Him. So as we close our sermon this morning, I want us to sing a song together. So if you have your song books, open them to 478.
But no. step out on that ledge that He gives us and be ready to proclaim and not be ashamed of it. So today, if you're here and you want to see Him, if you want to be part of that family, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to step out and put your faith and your trust in Him, who will guide you every single step of the way. But you've got to step out and understand that He's the one that's going to direct you, and you've got to do it by His command. So today, if you need to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Matthew 10:32-33. And finally, put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Just as Paul said, we are new creatures in Christ, ready to walk and to fight that battle, Romans 6:3-4. And you're part of that family. The Lord adds you to His church. And be bold and be proud and ready to preach and teach it. Have the proper attitude. And if you're here today and your attitude hasn't been what it needs to be, if it's been poor, if it hasn't been bold, if you've been hiding that light under a bushel, then I encourage you to renew your trust in Him and gain the attitude that you want to have, to be bold in your presentation. So if we can help you in any way, please come now as together we stand and as we sing.